Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Our text is verses 24 through 27. We come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount this evening as we consider these words from the Lord Himself who spoke on that mount to His disciples. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Please follow as I read. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. After the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is the word of the living God. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, our Savior speaking in the Sermon on the Mount comes to a very dynamic conclusion and emphasizes once again the genuine need to live the Christian life. In this conclusion, in which he gives this illustration of the man who built his house on a rock as opposed to the one who built on the sand, Jesus is pressing to our hearts the truth that a person who has heard the gospel, who has professed to believe it, is also required to bring forth corresponding fruit. He shows in this passage and in the passages just before it the indispensable need to render obedience to his precepts, not only to hear the Lord's word, but actually to do it, to put it into practice. And that is, if you will, what it means when we talk about the righteousness of God and what Jesus meant when he spoke of the righteousness that you must have in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, righteousness that is even greater than that of the Pharisees. That righteousness which is embodied and expressed in our personal character and conduct, because by saving faith we've been united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, we will wholeheartedly submit to his authority and obey him. Jesus teaches us that in the illustration that's before us in this passage. And I want you to look at this passage with me as we look at it again. There are two houses, and there is a crisis that attacks both of them. And then the meaning of that metaphor of the houses and the builders is explained by the Lord. There are two houses and two foundations. Jesus is clear. The wise man who built his house upon the rock, he is like the one who hears the things I tell him and puts them into practice, as opposed to the man who builds upon the sand. There's a commonality between the two. Both are builders. I would imagine that both went to the town hall to get the requisite permit. And perhaps they went together down to the Home Depot and picked up all of the requisite lumber and everything that they needed to build their house. The similarities could be even in the fact that they painted them the same, and that looking at them from the outside, maybe you didn't even know there was a difference, much like houses that are built today in some of the communities where the builder has five different brands and he spreads them across the street. And if you go five houses down, you can pretty much see the same house. A few differences, a little Dutch windmill out in front of one, or perhaps another way of painting the outside, but they all kind of look the same. But there was a radical difference. One dug deep. He didn't go on the surface. He secured a rock foundation. He is like the disciple of Luke's gospel in chapter 14, where Jesus challenged his followers to count the cost of discipleship. He emptied himself of his self-righteousness and was convicted of his own inability to come to Jesus. And he came with a heart that longed for salvation. He was one who did not balk at the difficult work of going deep and building a foundation that would withstand the storm. And in our lives, we need to have that same kind of practice as well. We don't need to balk at the difficult work of building a deep foundation of mortification of sin. Once again, that's an old word that the Puritans used often. We don't hear much about the mortification of sin, and sometimes we even need to have it defined for us. It simply means what Paul means in Colossians and in other places when he says, put sin to death in your life. That's what the old Puritans meant when they preached on mortification of sin. To mortify it is to kill it. And this is what was going on with the person who dug deep. His foundation went down to the very rock, and he built on the rock, much as the person in the Psalms, where the psalmist says, I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He knew that the word was deeply written in his heart. Because of the word deeply written in the foundation of his heart, this person had a horror and a hatred of sin in his life, and he mortified it, and he despised it, and he fled from it. We need to make sure in our lives that we have the word of God written deeply in our hearts. Concern for our eternal welfare should drive us to the word. We should spare no pain to examine ourselves to see whether or not the fruit of regeneration is growing and is abounding in our hearts and in our lives. It will if we, like the wise builder, are building on the foundation, which is the rock. But as we said, there are two foundations, two houses, two foundations, and the contrast is brought out by the Lord himself. The wise man, he says, he built upon the rock. We know, as the children's song teaches us, the wise man built his house on the rock, but the foolish man built on the sand. They both look alike from the outside, but the foolish man was in a hurry. His hope was in getting the house put together quickly. Like many who have a hope that's built on religious performances, apart from receiving Christ as prophet, priest, and king, apart from basing their whole hope of eternal life on the eternal foundation and the rock of Holy Scripture, they have built on sand, dreams and happy feelings, but not the bedrock of the grace of God and the gospel of salvation. It would be the person who wants to please himself and not the Lord, content to have a house that looks good like his neighbor next door, but his house is different. In his house, self is the center of life, not the Lord Jesus. He desires the church only for its comforts and its benefits. As we say, sometimes people have that thought of ministers. You know, ministers are handy to have around for marrying and for burying, and maybe for a hospital visit or two. But you know, when they start meddling in our lives, that's when we would rather they weren't there. This was the house that was built upon the sand, not really concerned at all to know the message of the book, never coming to allow himself to face the full teaching of the Word of God. The real question, was he going to trust now in the blood of Christ and attempt to obey him? No, the person building on sand does not do so. Oh, the Bible is popular in his house, and he even may go to church, but out of it he picks what he likes. Oh, I like the doctrine of the love of God. I love to hear about that. I don't like that doctrine of the justice and the wrath of God, because he doesn't like to take the whole message of the Word of God. He picks and chooses, He's not taken honestly what God speaks in His Word about the nature of sin, the effects of sin in light of the grand holiness of God. Comfort, ease, and happiness are the things he seeks. But in fact, his house is built on sand. The trouble with him is he doesn't really desire to know God. He wants the blessings of God, but not the God of blessings. He doesn't desire to really serve God and worship him with the whole fiber and fabric of his being. He wants certain things that he believes God can give him. Oh, when it comes to the end of our lives and we've built our house on the sand, we want at that moment to reach out and grasp those comforts of the life which is to come with the hope of heaven. But we've never sunk deeply in the foundation of the rock. There's never been in us a hungering and a thirsting of righteousness, because the faith of the man who builds on sand is casual, theoretical knowledge about God, but true faith by contrast. True faith, which once tastes that the Lord is gracious and can never be convinced otherwise, knows that we build on the foundation of the rock, which is Jesus Christ. The foolish builder has no conscious confession of sin. And there is a radical difference between him and the wise man. And that radical difference is the difference between the regenerate and the unregenerate. The regenerated person comes to God and prays, "Forgive us our sins." Rejoices in God's pardon through Christ. Brings his burdens to the Lord who cares for him. Takes Christ into his heart and in his life, and he comes away rejoicing that by grace he's been saved by the power of a magnificent Savior. The unregenerate is neither mourning over his sins, nor does he care to confess them before the Lord. He is calloused and indifferent. He has built his house upon the foundation of sand. There are great likenesses, but the differences between the two houses are all important. Then Jesus says about each house, a crisis attacks both of them. The rains come and the floods rise, and it's difficult and it's hard and it's harsh. And the man in the house built upon the rock is looking out the window in comfort, knowing that he's built upon a foundation that can withstand the storm. Wouldn't be too long, before the man in the house built upon the sand realizes to his utter terror that because of this great storm, his house, built upon sand, is not going to last. Jesus uses the metaphor of the storm to speak of the temptations and the trials that come into our lives. The purpose of the storm is simply to demonstrate the strength and the stability of the foundation, or to reveal the weakness and the security of the house that's built on the wrong foundation. To expose the foundation is the purpose of the storm, and the work of each person is put to the proof. It reveals the fundamental difference, and the outcome we know. The house on the rock stood. The wise man is more than a hearer only, Jesus says. He is a doer of the word. He is built on the proper foundation. He performs the things that God wants him to do. His character and his conduct are molded and regulated by the teachings of the Word of God. And as such, a blessing comes to him. The house does not fall. It stands. And he is encouraged. Here's great encouragement to the believer today. You will have storms in your life. And the winds will beat against you, whatever they may be. Sickness, sadness, sorrow, disappointment. It may come, and those storms whip, and they flourish, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. Do you know that you have a foundation, and your house of faith should be built on that foundation? If you know that, then you know you will stand. Don't be occupied with the narrowness of the way. Look at the glorious goal, life eternal. Don't be occupied with the painfulness of mortification of sin, but see it as a means to save you from the very pit of hell. Don't complain about the difficulty of obedience, but consider the rich reward that Christ gives to those who submit to Him. Having built upon a foundation of Christ the rock, our house will stand. The house that endures the storm is assured of safety. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we will face affliction. The scriptures are clear. If you want to live holy, Paul writes to Timothy, his friend, you will be persecuted. We will face opposition from the world. As Christians, we have a different belief system, and it's completely contrary to the world, which shakes its fist in the face of God and goes its own way. It's a belief system, and it's a house that's built on sand. We stand on the rock, and we will endure the assaults of our enemy, Satan, who will try to pull the rug out from under you, who will try to cause you not to believe in Christ, who will cause you in every way possible to doubt the veracity and the truth of the Word of God. But a house that's built on the foundation of rock, the end result is that it will stand. If you're standing upon the rock of Christ, you can face affliction. You can face opposition. You can face and endure the assaults even of Satan and his emissaries, and you will be victorious. But if your house is built on sand, there's only one thing that is promised: ruin and destruction. Much as those who are on the broad way. Jesus said earlier in this very Sermon on the Mount, narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation, and few there be that find it. Those who have found it are those who are building their foundation upon a rock. And that's where we come to the meaning of this metaphor. Jesus is calling us to hear and to obey His word. Notice how He carefully tells us that in this passage once again. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man. The importance is laid upon not just hearing, but doing them. Verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the ultimate answer is destruction. Jesus wants us to hear and to do. To hear and to obey. That's the central theme of this Sermon on the Mount. Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees heard a great deal about Scripture, could quote it for you. They tried to tackle Jesus with difficult questions about the Scripture. But their one problem was that they did not do what God's Word had said. And the Scripture is clear that we must do what God's Word says and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He that saith, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All through the Bible, hearing is one thing. Hearing and doing is what God has called us to. Build your house upon the rock. This sermon of the Lord Jesus ends with a radical choice. Remember, he has said there are two ways or two roads, and now he says there are two foundations. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of the choice between the two. On what road will you travel? The narrow way that leads to life, or the broad that leads to destruction? On which foundation will you build? Is your house of faith, your trust, resting upon the rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is your house built upon the sand? That which distinguishes is this: the one who is built on the rock is he who hears my words and he does them. May God help us to do what he has commanded in his word. Submit to the lordship of Christ and bring glory to his holy name. Amen. Let us pray.